everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's January 2020, and you're listening to episode 159, which is a conversation about the film The Two Popes, which is currently streaming on Netflix. On this episode, I'm joined by Jason Monroe. Jason has a Master's of Apologetics from Houston Baptist University. Jason has written an online exclusive film review for the Christian Research Journal, and it's called A Cinematic Call to Change, Postmodern Reform in the Two Popes. And you can read it for free online at our website, equip.org. Jason, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Melanie. Thank you.
Well, if people don't know much about this film in particular, it's a film that's streaming on Netflix right now. It's about the friendship, or what's portrayed as the friendship, between two of the most recent Roman Catholic popes. And so actor Anthony Hopkins plays Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI, and actor Jonathan Pryce, who has been nominated for an Oscar for this film, plays Cardinal Bergoglio, who becomes the current Pope, who is Pope Francis. So this film, The Two Popes, has been a highly praised film, you know, just by regular film reviewers who are not particularly religious. So what makes this film entertaining?
Well, it's a, I guess to start off, one of the main things that makes it really entertaining is kind of the odd couple aspect that you have between the two popes as they're interacting, Ratzinger and Bergoglio, as they're interacting throughout the film. It's just really a highly entertaining and highly comic portrayal of these two guys acting together. And, you know, they run through the gamut of being at each other's throats and kind of nitpicking with each other and, you know, just kind of like a couple would be. So they're arguing at a certain point, and they're also laughing and joking around at another point, and Ratzinger is playing his piano, and they're just talking in a really fun way, and at another time they're arguing. And so that's pretty much the main core of what makes it really entertaining, is these two guys just having fun and getting to know each other. And that's what pretty much just anybody can relate to. And that's probably the core element, is those two guys kind of hanging out and just kind of, it's just like a sitcom as far as it goes from that point of view. As far as the cinematic aspect goes, there's a lot of symbolism in the movie that really helps to bring out the meaning behind the film and what the director wants to portray. And it's just good to have, instead of just straight up, you know, arguments or statements from the actors, it's really good to have certain kinds of symbolism in the movie. And just a couple examples of that is, you know, early on you have the two guys contrasted, their colors are contrasted. You know, you have like the black color that the cardinal wears, the Cardinal Bergoglio wears as he's chatting and arguing, debating and laughing with Ratzinger, who's dressed as a pope, who's in white. So you've got that black and white contrast there as far as the colors goes with the scene. There's a lot of times when Bergoglio, well, most of the time throughout the film, Bergoglio, who will be Pope Francis, he's portrayed in a very positive light. And there's a scene where the mountain behind them is sloping up towards Bergoglio's direction, kind of showing that he's like this upward moving figure that wants to move people forward, move the church forward. That's kind of one of the main themes, is Francis is looking for ways to move the church forward. And there's another time when the two are arguing in the Castel Gandolfo. It's the Pope's that summer residence that he is in for a while earlier on in the film. And there's a time when, after they get done debating, Ratzinger is they kind of reach an impasse for a moment. Ratzinger, who is Pope Benedict, he gets kind of frustrated and walks away. And the scene is showing that he's walking away from the light, the light source in the scene. And Bergoglio is there, kind of with the light shining behind him, looking towards Ratzinger as he walks away. And it's just kind of a really cool cinematic effect. And there's just a lot of really neat symbolic visual effects like that, along with the comedic aspect. There's some very moving scenes in the film. There's one where Bergoglio, during a mass, he reconciles with one of the priests that he had kind of thrown under the bus earlier on in the film. And so it's just a really moving scene where they're both in tears and they're reconciling and forgiving one another. So, you know, the film is moving. This cinematically, it's really symbolic in certain elements. And I think the main thing, again, is that odd couple aspect between the two popes as they just kind of hang out throughout the movie.
I did feel it like it was a little bit of a Hollywood buddy kind of film, except for they don't really go on an adventure. Basically, yeah. Bergoglio comes to the Pope and comes to Rome to visit him. And so it's kind of less the road trip, I guess. Usually buddy films have this kind of road trip or adventure, and instead one comes to the other. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what's different about this film than, you know, other films that feature religious themes. I mean, I think going into it, you know, especially the title, it's about popes. And I think, you know, the average person doesn't know that much about the Roman Catholic Church or the process of how they select a pope, which is features largely in this film. And I do want to say we're only a few minutes into this podcast, but I forgot to tell everyone at the beginning, this is going to be spoiler filled. So if you want to go ahead and watch the film first, then you might want to come back to our discussion to think through some of the themes. Because I, you know, was wondering about some of the things that were implied in the film as I watched it. And I have to admit, I was not all that excited to watch this film, but I have to say that the actors were phenomenal in it, especially Jonathan Pryce. Mm-hmm. And I came away from that thinking, if he does not get an Oscar nomination for this, there's like no justice for acting quality. But he did, in fact, get a nomination for this film, and I feel like it's very well deserved. So what is the difference about this film than most other films featuring religious themes, besides the fact that it's specifically focused on Roman Catholicism?
Yeah, it really was a refreshing take for me, this film. It seems like there's a lot of movies that will depict religion or specifically Christianity in kind of a negative light, or else they'll kind of put religion or Christianity in like a comic light or kind of render it just kind of trivial, or they'll like heap scorn upon religion or Christianity. And I guess with this film, you start watching it and it's like, wow, this is making religion and Christianity look kind of fun, you know, or fun at times when the two guys are having fun and just, you know, joking and bantering about, you know, like this is, you know, a lot of times we think of like Catholic leaders and we're like, whoa, they're kind of secretive. And some movies have even portrayed a lot of Catholic aspects as kind of creepy-ish, you know, like there's the film The Exorcist, which is a big religious theme. And I'm not saying that that one puts religion in a bad light, but still it kind of just gives religion like almost this like creepy aspect. I know there was a film called The Nun that came out recently. And, you know, I didn't see it, but like just the cover, you know, with this nun that looks like kind of a demon figure is like, wow, you know, should we really look at a nun as being like a demon, you know? And so it's like there are these films that will sometimes portray religion or Christianity and or Catholicism as being, you know, either trivial or even immoral or kind of creepy. And it's just cool to watch a film. It was really refreshing to watch a film that, you know, you leave the film thinking no worse of Christianity and Catholicism specifically here, and how the two guys are just having fun and it's a great, you know, it's a great time. And there's just a lot of positive things about religion portrayed here. It's not putting it in a negative light. The only thing that's cast in a negative light is like the past traditional teachings of the Catholic Church, which they're kind of pushing to change. But, you know, in the end, it's, you know, Bergoglio is kind of the hero of the film. He's put in this very positive light. And it's just, it really leaves a good taste in your mouth as far as religion and this one, Christianity in general.
Well, one of the reviews that I looked at was published by First Things, which is a journal of ethics and issues from the public square that's edited by Roman Catholics. And in their film review, they said this, quote, "The Two Popes is baloney on steroids. Despite its claim to be based on actual events, The Two Popes no more reflects history through which, as the author is saying, I've lived and men I personally know than does Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker," end quote. So I think they felt that this portrayal of Pope Francis and Pope Benedict is not even loosely based on actual events. So I just wanted to find out from you if you feel like this movie depicting the relationship. Well, first of all, I wonder if they have such a relationship or if that was just kind of a cinematic device. Do you feel like it's a balanced portrayal of these two popes, or do you think it's lopsided? And actually, I want our listeners to know that Jason, who wrote this film review for us, is Roman Catholic. So do you feel like it is lopsided in its portrayal about who these two men are?
Well, as far as the portrayal regarding how close the film comes to historical events and historical realities, I guess, well, myself, I haven't been Catholic for a super long time, so I don't know a lot of that history, but I do have a respected source, Bishop Robert Barron, who wrote something on this film, and he knows a little bit more about the past of the popes than I do, and he was saying that, you know, Ratzinger was portrayed incorrectly at certain points, and that they could have gone more into the past of Ratzinger's past. It's Pope Benedict, the Anthony Hopkins' character. And they could have gone more into his past and shown more of the strengths of his past, as opposed to what you kind of get with the film, where, you know, there's a scene where Pope Benedict, that's Anthony Hopkins, he's telling Bergoglio that he is really struggling with his faith and that he can't hear God anymore and that he needs, quote, spiritual hearing aids, unquote. And it's just an interesting thing where I really don't think, you know, that Pope Benedict would have said something like that in real life. So I don't think that's a really accurate portrayal. I think he's a very strong spiritual figure who's written a lot of very deep and interesting and helpful documents for the church. So that portrayal is a little bit off, but, you know, Bergoglio's is a little bit better in that it's a little bit more true to his character. And you know, the film, it's just part of what it is intending to do, to portray Bergoglio, Pope Francis, in a positive light. And he is portrayed in the more positive light compared to Ratzinger. And so I think just as far as that goes, it is a bit lopsided. But, you know, there's definitely a lot of good things about how Bergoglio is portrayed and how there's a lot of things that can really support Christianity and be very, I don't know, just a really positive message for Christianity, and is very, it seems like that they're close to what Francis would have said in real life. So it can be lopsided at times, but, you know, there's also the director, Fernando Mireles, is known for researching his characters pretty closely. And so he did a lot of work for this one and got, you know, fairly close, but still there were some inconsistencies. But I guess that can be expected with pretty much any film.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Jason Monroe, and he has written an online exclusive film review article for us about the currently streaming film on Netflix called The Two Popes. Jason's article is called A Cinematic Call to Change, Postmodern Reform in the Two Popes. You can read it for free online at our website, equip.org. Also, I'd like to point you to another article that we have on our website. It's a feature article called A Window into the Theological Vision of Pope Francis, and it is related to this episode. We'd like you to partner with us by becoming a print subscriber to the Christian Research Journal. You can do that by going to our website and subscribing for $33.50. Another way that you can partner with us is to help us keep this content free, the content that's in the form of this podcast, as well as our exclusive online articles and film reviews and television reviews and book reviews on our website. And you can give us a tip. That would be something like $3 or $5 or $10, something that would be the cost of maybe you skipping one coffee drink or a lunch out for the month. And you can tip us at our website by going to equip.org. You'll see magazine. Click on that. At the drop-down menu, click on Postmodern Realities Podcast, and at any episode's landing page, including this one, you will find a link to be able to tip us. Another way that you can partner with us doesn't take anything monetary, but it just takes a few minutes of your time, and that is, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Google Play Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. When you rate and review us, it helps other people find this podcast and our content. And another really great way to just help spread the word is just tell a friend about this podcast and have them subscribe as well. And we thank you for your support. We were talking about just the portrayal of the actual popes and the fact that this, you know, movie claims it's loosely based on events. And one of the central events of the film is some people might remember that Pope Benedict, Cardinal Ratzinger, was only the second pope in Roman Catholic Church history to ever resign. And so it's kind of, I don't know, it's a fictionalized version of his contemplation about resigning. And, you know, it really infers that he pushed Bergoglio as the next candidate. And I don't know if that's true or not, but that's one of the central conceits of this film, just the whole coming together, who would replace him, who would he see replaced. And that is certainly true. That did happen. Pope Benedict did resign and Cardinal Bergoglio did get elected as the next pope and he became Pope Francis. So that is true for Roman Catholic history. But in our context, in terms of this film review for the Christian Research Journal, what is mere Christian about this film that's depicted that all Christians of whatever tradition could appreciate?
Yeah, well, there's definitely a lot of things about the film that are supportive of mere Christianity. And that's one of the really good things about it. I think one of the main things that Bergoglio stands for is mercy. And if you're familiar at all with things that are going on with Catholicism, there was a year of mercy, is what they called it. It was last year, and it was this higher emphasis on showing mercy to those around you, and that was inaugurated by Pope Francis, and that in the film is also depicted. But that is something that any Christian can latch onto, is that mercy is very important. That we should have mercy for those who are less fortunate than us, or mercy toward those who wrong us. And we should have this general attitude of kindness and love and mercy. And yeah, it's just a really good depiction by Mireles of Francis showing this idea of showing more love and mercy for people. And that's just that kind of also goes into another aspect of the film that's good for Christianity, which is Bergoglio's humility. There are certain aspects about the film where he shows that he is more humble than the past pope. And there are examples where Bergoglio refuses to ride in the back of a car when he's chauffeured somewhere. He'll ride in the front because he'd just rather not have that look that he's kind of this power figure being chauffeured around, but he wants to kind of be in a more companion role of sitting next to the driver. Or when he's hauling his stuff onto the plane, he would rather pull his own luggage than have a servant pull it for him. So he's got these different aspects of being humble in the film, and that's definitely something that any Christian can praise as far as the film goes. So those are kind of the two main ideas, is the mercy and humility and love of Bergoglio. And there are some, as far as mere Christianity goes, you know, you can look at some of the things about the film and come away from it saying like, oh, I don't know if Christianity teaches that. There is a section where Bergoglio and Ratzinger they get into an argument about their differing beliefs, and Ratzinger says that God does not change. And then Bergoglio comes back at him with, well, yes, he does change. And then Bergoglio also says all the life that he gave us is change. And so that's kind of the main postmodern push in the film, is that there's going to be this change that is advocated for the church. And as far as if we want to link up, you know, the idea of mere Christianity with Bergoglio, because he's kind of the main character and whatever he says is kind of the message of the film, you know, there is that message, which is a theological imprecision, because I don't think the classic mere Christian idea is that God changes. You know, God is always the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And also there are, you know, as far as the realm that we people live in, you know, we go through a lot of change in our lives and we'll have tons of change that we're always going through. But there's also the idea that there are unchangeable ideals that humans can connect with, that's also connected with the eternity of God and with the mind of God, and those things will not change. And so there is sometimes when, like, you have to listen to Ratzinger's message as opposed to Bergoglio's to get the theological correctness. But as far as just Bergoglio's overall deportment and his attitude, like, that's kind of the main thing to be looked at as this positive portrayal as humble Christianity and merciful Christianity.
What do you think non-Christians would take away about Christianity if they saw this film?
Well, I was actually very impressed with the positivity of the film towards Christianity. So I really think that this is one of those that is really good for Christianity. It may be kind of a different story if you're more of a traditional Catholic, but as far as basic Christianity, I think it paints Christianity in a very good light and makes it seem like something that is very palatable. You know, people nowadays, so many people are disenchanted with church and especially traditional churches, you know, maybe like the quote high church, if you've heard that term before, like just seems like people don't want to go for that at all anymore. They don't want any type of authority figures over them or hierarchies. And, you know, I think there's always going to be hierarchy and authority in churches, you know, even the ones that are very seeker friendly. But still, I think this is a really good film as far as portraying Christianity, because Catholicism is part of Christianity and it's portrayed in being a you know, in a good light. You know, in the very beginning of the film where they're going through the process to elect a new pope, you know, we have this inside information into these kind of secretive Vatican workings, you know, of the cardinals getting together and electing a pope. And it's made into this kind of artistic depiction where it's very tactile in those moments where they have the little balls with the numbers dropping all over, making the noises and slipping the papers into the slots. You know, it's that, you know, people love that stuff and they love to see that in movies, and it helps to engage them with the film. And, you know, they're enjoying this and they're engaged in these moments that are like these high church moments. And so I think that's just a really cool thing to have people kind of look at those aspects of Christianity and they look and to look at them in a positive light and have those aspects portrayed in a positive, you know, an enjoyable light, as opposed to, like I said before, with a lot of other films that just kind of look at religion or Christianity in a derogatory way. This one kind of seems to build it up.
Well, I think one of the questions that every person listening to this podcast has, whether they're Protestant or they're Roman Catholic, would be, how does this film treat the recent scandals, specifically all the allegations of sexual abuse among priests and a lot of the cardinals who, you know, have gone through whatever church discipline and so forth, that they were aware of this? I know in my area, just this month, the Roman Catholic Diocese, or I'm not sure how it's totally set up, so forgive me if I'm not explaining this correctly, but they released a list of all the priests that were found to have credible accusations against them for sexual abuse. So how is that even, is it even treated at all in the film, or do they ignore it? I think that's a big question for everyone if they're going to see this film.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's something that people are definitely aware of, and that's something that's on their radar when it comes to, I don't even know so much religions in general, but definitely with the Catholic Church, with the scandals that have gone on. Well, I think this topic recalls to my mind one part of the film where they're talking about the scandals that have gone on during Ratzinger's time. There was like some leaked Vatican documents, that were leaked by one of just someone in the Vatican there, and then you had Ratzinger's main servant or helper guy who goes to jail during the film. So there's a little commentary by, I think in the film it's by a newscaster, just like a news reporter person, and it's sent, and this news reporter says that quote, "There's no transparency behind these closed doors," unquote, something like that. And so what the film is showing is that, you know, there's this lack of transparency that's gone on, which definitely is true to reality. And, you know, it's definitely not good that there was a lack of transparency, and certain events and certain scandals were covered up, and bad behavior was covered up. And that isn't good. And the film is definitely in line with that, and showing that these criminal events shouldn't have gone on, and that they were covered up. But one of the interesting parts of the film is that, so that quote happens by that news reporter, and then the very next scene is Bergoglio he's in the airport, and he puts his clothes through the X-ray scanner. And so you see right after we hear this statement of there's no transparency, you know, behind these closed doors, we see Bergoglio's clothes moving through the X-ray machine at the airport as he's getting onto the plane. And it's like, wow, that's a really cool, like, symbolic, just another symbolic contrast, where, you know, we're seeing that the positive side of Christianity, that we should be focusing on is this idea of transparency and truth and reveal and bringing things that are behind closed doors out to the light and, just bringing things to the light. So there's that really neat, aspect there. So just another one of the cool symbolic moments of the film, but also a good message of transparency. And so as far as the scandal stuff goes, that I think that's one of the main messages that the film sends, which is a good message, that we should have more of a reliance on truth and transparency.
So how can this film in particular be a springboard for the Christian apologists to discuss Christianity with non-believers? Like, maybe they would want to get some friends together to watch this film, especially for those kind of film buffs who want to see all the different nominated performances, because I did find this performance by Jonathan Pryce just excellent. I did believe his portrayal in terms of the character. I didn't feel like I was watching a British actor. He did a great job with the accent and just his demeanor and how he came across to portray Pope Francis. So I'm sure there are those who are completely not religious who will see this film just for his performance. And if they do that with friends, how can this film be used as that apologetic springboard?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of good things that people can start talking about with this film. If they're not an intellectual academic type and they don't want to dive into kind of the theology behind if God changes or not, or if all aspects of humankind change, which those are really good topics to talk about. And I cover some of those in my essay if you want to read it online. But there's also just some really good, beatitude moments. If you're familiar with in the New Testament, when Jesus is talking about when he's doing his Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about the Beatitudes, and those are, like blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom, blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. You have these timeless teachings of Jesus kind of coming through in Bergoglio's statements and his behavior, and anyone can start talking about these aspects of Christianity, which are kind of general virtues as opposed to more academic topics. And so I think that would be a really good way for people to start talking about Christianity. There's a scene where Pope Benedict is saying to Bergoglio, Cardinal Bergoglio, that, if you live really simply, doesn't that kind of imply that all the rest of us aren't living simply enough? And Bergoglio replies with, well, can anyone really live simply enough? And so it's kind of this rhetorical question that we should try to live a simpler life, especially in this world that we live in now with so much hecticness and technology and distractions that we have about us all over in life. It's nice to hear that message of simplicity come from Bergoglio. And that would be another way that, people can enter into discussions about Christianity, is that how should Christians respond nowadays to all the complexity, that science is finding or technology brings about? Is it better to live kind of simply and meekly and humbly and all these things kind of wrapped up that Bergoglio stands for? I think those would be a really good springboard to talk about. But also there is some theological meat in the film. There's some things that scholars can discuss if they want to. So that's another aspect that makes the film really good.
So finally, would you recommend Christians seeing this film?
Oh, yes, I would. I would recommend them seeing it. I definitely would recommend pretty much anyone seeing the film. It was just from a film standpoint, it was definitely really, really good, really entertaining. I mean, like I said, with Catholics, I think they might kind of raise an eyebrow at it a little bit more than general, mainstream Christians would, just because like the film will kind of push for the church to change its controversial teachings. There's controversial teachings in Catholicism that Catholics will debate about with even Protestants. And the film kind of pushes for the church to change those. But then again, you also have Bergoglio who's showing this idea of mercy and kindness towards people who are opposed to these controversial teachings. So at least, the film, it has a really good aspect of just showing this kind of tolerance and kindness and love towards people who, have these kind of disagreements with these controversial teachings in the church. And so that's a really great message for all of Christians that they can latch onto and really enjoy. And also the film is just really good from a cinematic point of view. It's really, you know, a lot of times I'll watch like a new show or a new movie and I'll just wonder like, where's the substance in that? And you know, this movie does have some good substance to grab onto and some theological depth to it. Regardless of if it's correct or not, it's definitely something to latch onto and think about and discuss with your friends. And yeah, it's a good movie. You could watch it over and over. It's really entertaining. It'll make you laugh, make you cry. And so it's really good in that way too.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for Jason. So Jason, what did you have for dinner tonight?
Oh, what did I have for dinner? We had some pork from the crock pot and, so that was pretty good. So just some pork and some chips tonight.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
I tend to be an early bird. I really just like getting up and, you know, maybe getting some coffee and reading something and meditating. You know, I live in the Black Hills here. There's a lot of beauty here and we can sit out on my porch and, that's the Black Hills of South Dakota. If you didn't know, it's kind of around where Mount Rushmore is. And I'll just kind of sit out on my porch and look at the beauty around me and the beauty of creation and nature. It's just a really nice area here. And mornings are good to do that. They're nice and peaceful and quiet.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?
I'd say mostly an introvert. Sometimes I'll meet people and they'll be like, "Oh, you're a fairly decent people person. Aren't you more of an extrovert?" And I'll be like, "Well, no, I think I recharge my batteries a little bit better when I'm, you know, by myself doing my own thing, but you know, I'd also try to get out there and get involved with people as well." So.
And are you highly organized and scheduled, or are you go with the flow and spontaneous?
I think I'm pretty scheduled. There's times when I can be spontaneous. I try to avoid extremes. I think everyone should avoid extremes, but you know, I think most of the time I'm pretty organized and pretty, you know, run by my schedule. I don't know what I would do without my Google Calendar telling me kind of what to do next. And so, yeah, I think I'm a little bit more on that, on the scheduled side.
Well, thanks, Jason, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
You're welcome, Melanie. Thank you very much for having me.
You have been listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest has been Jason Monroe, and Jason has written an online exclusive film review article for us about the Netflix film called The Two Popes. It has also even received an Academy Award nomination. His article is called A Cinematic Call to Change, Postmodern Reform in the Two Popes. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. And please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes, and please rate and review our podcast. When you rate and review our podcast, it helps others see our content. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's audio podcast. Follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.